Hey everyone, welcome back to another But Why Though episode. Today we have an interview. This time we got the chance to talk to Aboubakar Salim, renowned voice actor, actor, and now the head of Surgent Studios. We talk about the tales of Kinzara Zao, the studio's debut game released under the EA Originals banner. We talk about grief, the importance of teaching vulnerability, and more. The Tales of Kinzara Zao is out April 26th on PC via Steam, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and Nintendo Switch. Enjoy. So I am so excited to talk to you, primarily because your game really kind of hit me at a right time in my life.
Right.
I've lost quite many family members the past couple of years.
I'm sorry.
But I think one thing that I've been finding is finding ways to channel my grief through art, finding stories, finding pieces. But I haven't really found a game like that yet. Mm. So when I heard that this game is very personal and intimate story for you about working through grief, I wanted to ask, have you thought about how that's going to help others kind of navigate their spaces as well?
Yeah, I think what I'm hoping to do with it is essentially just give, like, it's a vehicle to sort of instigate some form of feeling of like, oh, okay, this is the journey I'm going on, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
You know, I think like that's the thing. I think I remember when I was grieving, I felt very isolated and very alone. And I, you know, that's what grief is. Grief is very personal. It's always different, no matter, you know, who you are or where you are. There's no book about it that can really tell you about the journeys you're going to go through.
Yeah.
But essentially what I'm hoping with this game, you know, what I find anyway, you know, when I was grieving, first thing I did was play games. It was a way of kind of jumping into a world and kind of escaping to a degree.
Yeah.
But I think like also connecting with characters. And I think like that's essentially what I want to do. I want to tell a story that connects and resonates, that feels, you know, almost like, it, you know, to those who are grieving, it feels quite close to home, but it feels relatable.
Yeah.
And those who, you know, who aren't, you know, can, you know, see this journey and be like, ah, this is what it's about, you know. So I think that's really where what I'm hoping to aspire to kind of build with the game as a whole.
And I think one of the things that I've loved about the conversation is I think for Black men and Latino men specific, there's a lot of pressure to not be vulnerable,
yes,
to not live in that space, to not feel that pain as much, because you have to be resilient always. And one of the beautiful conversations I've seen spun up since you announced the game is more people being vulnerable, more people sharing that and feeling open. And I think it's an important conversation to have in communities that, you know, you don't always have to be super strong. Sometimes the strongest piece is, you know, opening up.
Yeah.
Is that one of the things you thought about as well?
Oh, 100%. I remember, you know, when I was grieving, the first thing that I remember my mom telling me is like, you're the man of the house now, you're the man of the family. And just having to almost like, it was almost like this kind of like element of, you know, man up, just continue on, just don't feel sad, just move on forward, and not really having that moment to actually feel sad, to grieve, to miss someone, you know. And I think like it's quite common, I think, actually with all men, really, you know. It's one of those ones where men are very good at closing themselves off or not necessarily emoting or just dealing with it, you know, being rational about things rather than necessarily, you know, looking at themselves and feeling vulnerable and feeling emotional, which it took me a while to realize. And you know, even through this game, through making this game, it's also opened and unlocked a lot of for me emotionally, where I've realized that actually it's all part of healing, you know, just talking about it and being open about it, especially within, as you mentioned, like Latino and sort of African communities. Like it's not a male thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So that's
kind of what I totally agree with that. I totally see that for a whole.
And one of the things that is really fascinating for me, and I've watched the trailer multiple times, and I'm very excited with the type of game that you landed on.
Mm.
What went into, because I think when people hear about emotional stories, sometimes they think about maybe visual novels or something that's very text-driven, text-heavy, and not very tactile.
Mm.
And the game, the way the game looks right now is it looks very tactile, very explorative, very, you're moving through levels and you're moving through this journey in a very specific way. I apologize if this comes off a little confusing.
No, for sure.
But, because one of the things that I did when I was like deep in my grieving process was I started playing a new class in an MMO.
Right.
One that would make me think and connect to it, because performing actions was somehow like
soothing in a way.
Yeah.
And so I was excited when I saw that the way that Tales of Kenzara is a full game. It's a tactile experience.
Yes.
It's fully new.
Yep.
So it kind of helped you choose the genre for this story
journey.
As opposed to doing something that is maybe primarily text-driven or something like that.
So really, truly, it's, you know, for me, like, I think Metroidvanias very much are about grief, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's, for me, it's very much like you're throwing a character in a world that they have no idea about, and they're having to try and learn about it as they go along. And that's basically what grieving is, right?
Yeah.
You never are going to expect when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, and it happens, and you're like, oh god, you can't even when you're prepared for it, it never even, you know, you're never really prepared. And so that kind of, you know, made sense to me as to why that kind of, you know, why it had to be, you know, why it's perfectly grief. The other element of it as well is, like, you know, grief isn't always sad. It's everything.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's there's anger, there's relief, there's sadness, there's happiness. It's weird. It's like it's this kind of influx of emotions.
Yeah.
It's almost chaotic in a way, and that's essentially why I wanted to make this fast-paced, vivid experience, because it's that's the journey. You know, it's always going to be messy, but you can find some form of logic even in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, like, that was why I really wanted to lean into the madness and of it all, but at the same time enjoy the play of it all, you know, the freedom of it all, give you the agency to kind of chart your own journey in a way, you know.
And so far as visuals, it is very beautiful. It is vibrant and it is striking. Can you talk a little bit about some of your inspiration for creating the larger world?
So something that I really wanted to pull from, again, was all these really cool, rich Bantu cultures and, you know, the tribes, be it like either like the Maasai or the Zulu, you know, or the Ndebele. Like, there's all these really cool tribes and you know, the art that they bring and the world and stories that they bring as well. I wanted to celebrate that, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to create a world and a space that celebrates these cool cultures. And so, yeah, it really, you know, everything was kind of influenced by not only these tribes, but also, as I say, like the emotions or the journey of grief and kind of mixing that in between. So, for example, like the, you know, the highlands, which is like the first level essentially that you kind of go through, the first biomes that you go through. It's all about anxiety, and it's all about kind of dealing with that. So, what kind of, not to necessarily say that the Ndebele art style invokes that, but there is a certain way, there's a certain way in which it is depicted and how it, you know, plays, where there's, you could almost say there is an element of anxiousness to it, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of pull from that as well as a whole, and it's beautiful in its own regard as well, and that's sort of something that we really wanted to, like, focus on.
That's really compelling, taking an art style, mapping it onto
a
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to ask a little bit deeper going into the art, is like, when it came to the development piece, what did you knew that you had to get right in the setting, but then also what did you know you had to get right in the storytelling?
Yeah, I think in the setting it had to be about, like, essentially, it had to feel authentic.
Yeah.
Right, and it had to feel real, and it had to feel like, okay, this feels grounded in some, you know, some form of, you know, reality. But I'd also say the story as well, it had to feel like it had to come from a place of honesty, and it has to feel universal. Like, I think, yes, even though the story is inspired by my loss of my father, I think grief can hit us, you know, in many different ways and shapes, right? It can be a parent or a friend, or a pet, or even a job. Like, I think, like, that's, you know, that's what grief is. It can be any of these shades. So for me, the story, what was really integral was making sure that it felt universal and carried the different shades of all these other people experiencing grief in their own regard as well, that someone could relate to and kind of could connect to.
That's really beautiful to hear, because I think that's been what a lot of people have been experiencing, especially with the layoffs, is that finding that you can grieve something you may not have put that stake into it, but when it hits you.
It hits you.
Yeah.
You never realize how much you love something until you miss it, you know?
Yes.
And I think, like, that's truly something that is, you know, you take a lot of things for granted, you know, in a way. And I think I was talking to a friend about this as well, and saying, like, you know, we have almost more in common or share more love for those who have passed or that's, that has gone, because we don't take it for granted.
Yes.
You know, our in a way, you always think, oh yeah, our parents are always there, or our friends are always there, but you never know. You never know. And then as soon as it hits, you're like, ah, oh wow, yeah. Okay, oh man, you know, and it really yeah. kind of sinks.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I'm really excited hearing you talk about this is the almost joyous aspect that can come in it and the mixture of emotions, because I'm Mexican-American. My family celebrates Day of the Dead, Dia de Muertos, and for us, it's a party.
Right.
It is the day to grieve, and it is the day to cry and feel
yeah.
deeply, but it's also the day to play music and celebrate
yeah.
and invite our ancestors into our home to be with us one more time. And
yeah.
what I really connected with when I saw the trailer and hearing you talk right now is just kind of like finding the space where I think a lot of people assume it's one thing. It's
yeah.
going to be gray and
it's
going to
be
dark.
And
horrible,
yes. Yeah, no, it's just, it's a yeah. celebration of life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way, you know, a lot of cultures, African cultures as well, look at it, right? In the same way.
Yeah.
It's, you're celebrating their life. You're celebrating the life that they have. And I think, like, even though there is, you know, you are sad and there is a feeling
yeah.
of that. And even the kid, like, you, the journey you're going on is just wanting to bring them back because you love them so much.
Yeah.
But it's the sense of, you know, the world and how they see, you know, they see death or look at death is very different to what a lot of Western sort of
yes.
ideologies are looking at death as, right?
Yeah.
It's almost not necessarily seen as the end. That's
exactly.
why he's like, no, I could bring them back. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, but it is really, truly like there's an element of a celebration to it as well.
What is one of the things that you really hope that people take away from the game, whether while they're playing it or maybe when it's done?
Yeah.
If you had to have them feel a certain way, what do you want them to feel?
I think for me it's like it's the feeling of like it's okay to not be okay. I think like that's really kind of, you know, key. I remember, you know, when I was, you know, going through it, I remember thinking every time that I'd feel sad or feel angry, I'd always try and bury it and be like, no, I've got to keep going, you know. But actually, it's okay to feel that way, and it's quite normal and human. And I think like that's what I wanted to take away from it, because, you know, something that I love, you know, I think I've realized that I loved about the games that I've played in the past, they show vulnerable men, vulnerable young boys in a way, like.
Yeah.
Look at Kingdom Hearts and Sora and what he
yes.
goes through, right? He's a vulnerable kid. Kratos only became interesting when he started
exactly.
to become vulnerable,
yes.
like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like, it's really kind of looking at that and just saying, yeah, it's okay to not be okay, and kind of lean into that, you know?
No, that's fantastic. And I think it's something that is a really vital message right now. I think especially as things get harder for people, I feel like you kind of go one of two ways.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people now are, it's good to be resilient, but sometimes you just want to not be resilient in a moment. Sometimes
yeah.
you just want to break a little and feel a little
yeah.
and pull that out. It's really...
You
want to
stop,
that.
I think,
yes,
like, and that's
exactly.
and that's and it's totally fine to stop, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
So like, and that's kind of what I feel like as well. Like, it's really important. It's like it's okay to have a breather,
yeah.
and it's okay to feel the way you feel, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, you don't have to fix everything straight away,
yeah.
you know. And I think especially now we need to sweep. There's a shout to just stop and think and just reflect, which I feel like. There's a, you know, we bring that even in our game, like the character, every time that you there are these points which are called reflections, and you sit under a baobab tree and you essentially talk about how you feel, and by talking about how you feel, you increase your health, and it's like that's it, but it's
yeah.
so simple, right? And you just
yeah.
it's just that simplicity of like, yo, listen to me,
yeah.
and it helps so much. So yeah, so that's why I'm like, this is, you know, it's okay to not be okay, and that's kind of what I want to really pass through with this game.
Have you thought at all that this may be somebody's first Metroidvania that they've played?
Oh yeah, totally, man. Like, yeah, and I want them to love it. Like,
yeah.
you know, I think like that's the thing. I remember actually, you know what? It's funny you say that. My old school teacher, my drama teacher, would say to me, you know, it's gonna be. Whenever you do a piece of work or a piece of theatre or a piece of whatever you do, it's going to be someone's first experience of it, and it's going to be probably someone's last experience.
Yeah.
So you've got to make it for both of them, right? You've got to make, and I think like in my head, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely going to be someone's who's never played a Metroidvania before, who kind of love the idea of the world as a whole, right?
Yeah.
But they're like, I've never played really platformers, but sure, I'll go into it. So you've got to cater to them, and you've got to make sure, like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun and a good experience for them, which makes them be like, yeah, I want to play more games like this, you know?
Yeah.
I think, like, yeah, it's so important, man.
And what has kind of been your trajectory from, like, actor to developer? Like, what?
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I think, like, it's sort of been very natural, but also not. It's like one of those ones where, so, you know, I realized that you could have a career in games after working on Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah.
And like realized, oh wow, okay, so it isn't just Magic Gremlins just making these games, it's like it's actual people.
Yeah.
So that was really my first kind of jump into it. What then ended up happening was me just asking so many questions to other developers who work in the industry and learning about them and talking to them as well about it all, and sort of getting this idea that, like, oh, okay, so this is how you form a studio, this is how it all goes. But ultimately, we're all driven by the same thing, which is we love playing games and we want to make a really cool game.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of how it sort of happened. And now, like, you know, the deeper I go into it, the more I'm realizing, oh, this is like a lot of fun, man. Like,
yeah.
This is really cool. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun, you know? Like, we've been building this game for 4 years and now we're getting to a point where we're showing it to the world and it's like, oh, okay, this is like legit real happening, you know? So yeah, I love it, man. I really, really enjoy it.
Do you have any advice for people who may be looking to take that leap or may?
Yeah. I would say use the networks around you. And if you don't have the networks around you, it's very easy to make them.
Yeah.
So for example, like, you know, the online community in regards to games and stuff, be it like through Reddit or even through, you know, Twitter/X or even like even Discord. Like, you know, there are so many communities out there of indie game devs who want to make games and want to, you know, try and create games. And it's like, you just have to all work together. And, you know, the beauty of these engines that we have now with Unreal or Unity is like, they're so accessible.
Yes.
That you can actually conjure, you don't have to code something from the get-go.
Yes.
Genuinely, anyone can make a game.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's the beauty of the, you know, the industry that we live in right now. In the same way that now, you know, iPhones are so good, anyone can make a film. So,
yeah.
Like, I think, like, that's the, you know, I'd say it's just jump into it, just do it, you know, and just, and talk and go to conventions and talk to people and actually get to know people. And it doesn't even mean that you have to buy tickets to these conventions.
Yeah.
People just hang out around the area. So you can literally just, you know, if you got a ticket to San Fran, hang out in San Fran and do GDC, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to do GDC, but you can do it there. Or even, like, you could watch some of the stuff online. Like, it's, you know, YouTube, GDC, they post their shows, you know, their old shows anyway. So there's so much there to kind of mine from, which is what I did.
Yeah.
To get to where I got to, and it's like, and it's so helpful, you know, so useful.
That's fantastic, and I think that's such a really strong point in, like, kind of finding that community and moving through it.
Mm.
So I actually do university recruiting for a game studio, and
my
job on the outside, but hearing that, like, that's something I think a lot of people take for granted, is kind of finding where the spaces are that they can move in, or even feeling welcome in the spaces in the first place. Like, a lot of people, especially in games, kind of deal with a little bit of that imposter syndrome, but also, like, should I be here, exactly.
Yeah, but I think, like, ultimately, once you kind of break that barrier, or even if you still feel it, but you, as long as you just keep trying, you'll get somewhere.
Yeah. And I guess, like, my final question is just really, how have you felt with the reception of the game? It's been out and interesting to see from my perspective, but you're at South by now, you've been traveling everywhere.
Yeah.
How has it been to kind of have your creation out in the world?
Oh, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But you know what? It's also really, it's fun. Like, I love it. Like, this is an opportunity for me. I'm still healing, so I'm still talking about it. I'm still, like, learning new things, meeting new people, having people come up to me and say, yo, you've really, even just your announcement has moved me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great. Like, I'm doing the thing that I've wanted to do, which is move people and tell cool stories. So, yeah, it's all sorts of things. I'm nervous as hell for people to play it. I'm nervous, man. Like, but I'm at the same time, I'm really... I am excited. I'm excited for it. Yeah.